And of course, last but not least, we go to period number three. It was the Burnsville Blaze and the Apple Valley Eagles in the South Suburban Conference tilt. Two teams, 1-2 in their conference. Both teams knocked out of the top 10, depending upon which one you're looking at. But they were both looking very good last night, especially the Burnsville Blaze. They came up with a 5-4 victory, held on, basically. They improved to 8-3-2 overall and 6-0-1 in the conference. Meanwhile, Apple Valley falls to 5-2 in the conference. And their record overall now, 9 wins against 4 losses and no ties. Tim Kolomainen joins us for this period. Tim, we're going to hear from quite a few people on this one, but really the bottom line is it comes down to the Burnsville Blaze just had the depth and the balance working all night long.
Yeah, how about that? Jumping up to a big lead like that on Apple Valley, I don't know that anybody expected that to happen, but it was an impressive start for them. A little bit of trouble in the third period. They're hanging on to that one, but it's a big win for the Blaze for sure. I was really impressed with their goaltender, Bo Yangham, who, I mean, we all have heard of him. We all know of him and how highly touted he was coming into the season. But he kind of saved their bacon for a while in that game.
Was very athletic, and you can see in the highlights, and what he did was incredible, and you could see the puck, but it was in the third period where the Apple Valley Eagles started getting bodies to the net, created some screens and all sorts of sightline issues for the big goaltender, actually not the big goaltender, but the smaller goaltender who plays really big. But, you know, Bo Yangham really ended up becoming the key factor in that game, Tim, as, you know, the shots on goal after two periods favored the Burnsville Blaze by a 29-19 margin.
Yeah, I'd say Apple Valley really turned up the heat in that third period there. They, like you said, started getting bodies to the net. Some of those big boys, the Hudson Fashing, kind of banging around out there a little bit and throwing their weight around against some of the other Burnsville kids. And I can't overstate, too, I heard that Sean Madigan, defenseman from Burnsville, left that game late in the second period. And that seems to have turned the tide there, too. Losing a defenseman like him can't help at all.
No, it can. And when he left the game, the shots on goal then favored the Apple Valley Eagles in the third period by a 20-7 margin. They end up out shooting Burnsville 39-33 for the game. But it was the faceoff circle and the power play that were the story for the Blaze. 3-for-8 with a man advantage. Meanwhile, Apple Valley 0-for-5. And it was in the faceoff circle where Burnsville was so devastating, especially in the offensive zone. They were able to get possession and generate a couple of goals out of that as well. They were real good in that category. But the guy that stood out to me all night long, of course, is number 16, Corey Chapman. He had a 4-point night, a goal and 3 assists. Mike Dockery had his 2 goals and an assist. You know, the usuals continued to work their way. But the backbreaker was a goal by Timu Kiviami, the freshman, the young son of the head coach, Yanni, who came up with a shot that got away from the goaltender, Aaron Gretz, which put the Blaze up by a score of what seemed to be an insurmountable 4-0 lead. But, Tim, before you knew it, bang, back they came, and this thing was a lot closer than you thought.
Yeah, a couple quick goals there in the third period, made it 4-2. And then, it looked like after that little 2-goal outburst there, Derek Smith with a couple of goals, just, 2 minutes apart, midway through the third there. It kind of looked like maybe Burnsville was settling down. You know, they got another Dockery goal to go up 5-2, and you kind of felt, hey, they're gonna hang on here. That was just a little blip. But then Apple Valley, a big rush over the last couple of minutes there, really made it interesting at the end there. In fact, they had a shot at actually tying that game. They got a puck on net in the last second to make everybody a little nervous.
Well, the Dockery power play goal at 12:33 looked like that was the icer at 5-2 after Smith had put his back-to-back tallies in at 8:03 in 10 minutes. But then it was Derek Smith again. This was an absolute laser from the far wall. Unbelievable stuff. He was to Engham's right, about at the hash marks, and he just let a missile go upstairs, bar down, and that pulled the squad within 5-3, and he kind of went, we'll see. They pulled the goaltender, had some opportunities, and finally, with 16 seconds left, Tate Erickson scores, but it was too little too late for the Eagles. Hey, you know what, Tim, we're going to jump out here and take a listen. As Jerry Hayes, he was asked by Lauren Nelson from the MN Hockey Hub, what'd you say to the guys? And he's like, not much. But it's an interesting interview. Jerry Hayes, said basically what we had said on the outset of the program, of the MyFoxHockey.com coverage is, they've got some wins. They had 9 in the season, but they've got 3 losses against top-ranked teams. They've hung in there with them. They've been right there with them. They're an elite team. They're viewed by myself as an elite team, Tim, but they haven't quite gotten over the hump now with losses to Eagan, Eden Prairie, Burnsville and Edina.
Yeah, not much. It wouldn't take much for that team to really make a jump into the top 10. They're just, you know, close losses like this to those top teams. If they could manage to pull out one or two of those, they'd find themselves in the middle of that top 10 for certain.
Let's check in with Jerry Hayes, post-game thoughts right here on the Overtime Radio Network.
Well, I must have said something to get the guys going in the third, huh?
Well, not. I mean, it's high school hockey, and it's an emotional game, and you ride waves. And, you know, we know Burnsville. You know, the last thing we said to them was, hey, they had a 3-goal lead against Holy Angels in a tournament a week and a half ago, and Holy Angels found a way to come back and, you know, let's get that first one. Of course, then they get the first one. So, you know, what do I know? it's just kind of caught lightning in a bottle there for a little bit and make it interesting. Then we give up a fifth one. So it's kind of, you know, you don't really necessarily expect. And our guys, to our credit, you know, we didn't give up. We kept playing. Derek Smith had a heck of a third period. And you know, that certainly helps. But, you know, overall, it doesn't negate the fact that we played pretty poorly for 34 minutes of hockey. And so it's they were the better team. They deserved to win, and that's what we told our kids.
How did Derek Smith all of a sudden become a goal scorer? He had one coming into the game.
Well, he's certainly been trying. not from lack of effort over the course of the last couple of weeks. You know, and Derek, you know, he's probably our best-kept secret. You know, we don't get a lot of people talking about him, but, you know, I've talked about him for years. That, you know, I think he's one of the better defensemen in the Metro, and I'd put him up against anybody. But, you know, he's a good, you know, solid defensive defenseman, a smart hockey player, and, you know, showed some offensive flash. And he's been playing since his freshman year, and he's been steadily getting better and steadily building offense into his game. And, you know, if he continues to build and learn when to go and when not to go, you know, that's a nice thing to add to his game. But he's a heck of a player, and like I said, he's a very good secret for us.
What was Burnsville taking advantage of in that first period?
Their speed, their strength, and just our just inability to match their speed and strength in the first period. You know, and they got pucks to the net. They had a nice job going in the net. Their power play was, you know, 1.5 for 3. You know, I think their second or first goal was right after the power play had expired, so we were still getting guys on the rink. And then their power play goal later in the period. So, you know, our kill just wasn't ready for it, and I can't explain why, because we talked about it in practice, and they did exactly what we thought they would do, and we just didn't respond, you know, once the game started. And to their credit, they finished when they had the chances.
How concerned are you with the conference race and points?
Well, you know, we are and we're not. I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, a goal, I think, of every team in our conference is to win the conference. And so to say that we're not aware of the conference, we certainly want to do well in the conference. But at the same time, we also want to just beat it. You know, for us, it was, let's beat a hockey team that maybe on paper we're not supposed to beat. And we've failed to do that. You know, we've tried, and, you know, like I told him after, he says, you know, we've come close, but, you know, that's not good enough. You know, to be in a game, you know, Wayzata, Eden Prairie, and Egan, you know, to make it interesting, but lose isn't good enough for this program. That's not what we want to be about. You know, we got to win some of those games instead of, you know, just being there at the end and going home with, oh, we only lost by one, or we only lost by two, but they're very good. You know, that's not good enough. You know, we got to be better. We got to find a way to come out of shoot a little better and play better against high-quality teams and not be back on our heels.
Jerry, first couple of periods in this game, is this something you can write off as, you know, the type of thing that happens in the middle of a long season, or did you see issues out there that you have to address tomorrow in practice?
Well, we got an issue. We got to address heart. You know, we just didn't play with a lot of heart. We didn't play with a lot of emotion. You know, they took the game to us, to their credit, and we didn't respond well. You know, we have a lot of guys who are veteran guys who, you know, whatever reason, we just didn't show up to play. And so we just have to address from a heart standpoint and from a coaching staff standpoint. Obviously, we didn't get them ready to play. We saw that the first two periods. As a coaching staff, we failed, so we'll take our responsibility with that too. But there wasn't a lot positive in those first two periods from top down.
The big story, though, in the game was Derek Smith and his hat trick. He had a chance to talk to us after the game about that one.
You know, I wasn't too happy about my performance earlier in the game. Got an adrenaline rush and, you know, just tried to make things happen, and I dealt with 3 goals. I'm a little disappointed about the loss, though, and that's a real big thing. I take a win over a hat trick any day.
you know, you had one goal coming in the night. Coach said it wasn't for a lack of trying. You feel like you were snake bit coming in, and then just everything went in tonight for you, or what?
Yeah, I've been trying to improve my offensive game. I think I'm more known as a defenseman, but you know, I'm trying to add to our offense on our team, trying to jump up in the play and stuff. And tonight, you know, the puck just went in for me.
Coach is talking about you guys have come close a bunch of times against good teams, but close isn't good enough. What do you guys need to do differently, do you think?
Harder work and practice and just bearing down. I mean, we need to come with more intensity. These other teams, you know, they're coming hard. They're playing as a team. I can see us do that more. Maybe full field, these out.
You have to be happy a little bit about the comeback, though. You showed a little heart at the end.
It's always good to, you know, win a third period, but again, you know, it gets to a point where we're not satisfied with that and we want to win.
Trying to go high on Bodie?
We played with him in the Elite League. He's a good goalie, though.
Yeah.
I think I caught him off guard a few times, but, yeah.
He looked unbeatable for two-plus periods.
He played really well. He's stopping everything, but just got to keep putting him on net and see what happens.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
You know, Tim, you take a look at the, you know, bigger depth of this one as it was really about the injury to Madigan. Sean Madigan goes down. He got hit in a tough spot, and the fact is he had to sit out, and you know, you could tell the difference in the squad there.
Yeah, anytime you lose a defenseman of that caliber for an entire period, you can see that it affects the their play, both defense, you know, in their defensive zone, their breakout, all that sort of thing. He's a good puck moving defenseman, and so with him out of the lineup, Apple Valley really put a lot of pressure on in the Burnsville defensive zone, and they didn't handle it as well as they might have if he had been on the ice. So. It's a key loss for them in that third period. I hope he's all right. I didn't hear exactly, you know, how long he'll be out or what happened, but hopefully he'll be not missing too much time for them because they need him.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Tim. And it's one of those situations where, you know, if you're the Burnsville Blaze, you're up 4-0, and you're on easy street. You know, when you're playing a game, team of the caliber of these Apple Valley Eagles, it's not going to go away, and that's pretty much expected. Let's check in with head coach Yanni Kiviami from the Burnsville Blaze.
Well, you guys had to scrap to hold on to that game, huh? Were you guys...
Well, we had some guys got banged up and injured a little bit, so we were a shorter guy, so it affected a little bit the way we wanted to play. But we were able to hang in there. I take that for us a positive thing.
That was Madigan who was hurt, right?
Yep.
What happened to him?
He got hit in the private. Put it that way.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you laugh about it, but
it can be dangerous.
Yeah,
it can be dangerous.
And,
so.
And you're trying to hold on without one of your best defenses.
Yeah. So.
What were you doing in the first period that you was so effective?
Well, we really didn't do any. We just played our hockey, and you know, frankly, you know, we played. Let's close that thing. Let's get a puck in there. Really, nothing. Basically, nothing. Special. We just played our hockey, and the goal was to play all three periods that way. We just, for some reason, decided to. Some players started to change how they wanted to play, and it affected our confused to some of the other kids, and we end up creating that therefore some odd man rushes. And
do you think, you know, no Holy Angels again?
I called the time out there just to explain it to kids that, you know, to stick to the knitting, stick to our game. No reason to change anything up. And, you know, trying to calm them down, so to speak, because there was too much running around and I didn't like what I was seeing. So.
Right.
Johnny, do you worry much about trying to match up lines again when against Michelson and 22, especially, you know, when they're out there like every other shift and
Getting
the power play and penalty kill. Do you worry much about trying to match up lines with those guys in particular?
Well, the Apple Valley is a good team, and they got some good players. I mean, especially you know, their first line there, it's as good as any first line in the state. And of course, you'd have to be aware when they are on the ice. So you know, you want to make sure that you have some of your top, whether it's the defense or forwards out there.
were there particular kids you wanted out there against those guys, or was it just that whoever you sent out there needed to?
We tried to usually match first line for first line, and you know, second line for second line, and third line for third line. It's not really anything special there. You know, we felt that. I know that the Apple Valley first line is really good, but we felt that our first line is good as well. Mm-hmm. And let's see how it goes.
Halfway point in the season for you, some real quality wins, playing a lot of quality opponents, an early win against Hill, taking Edina all the way to the end.
Yep.
How would you evaluate the season for you guys at halfway point?
Well, I mean, looking at from our kid standpoint, I think we have a good group of kids. From a talent standpoint, from a classroom standpoint, and from overall good kids, which are very coachable. So we feel we made some progress on identifying some players that where they kind of have a feel where they need to be, and we still have to make some adjustments on certain areas, but to make us more competitive. But overall, I'm pleased how we are overall coming along.
Congratulations on a good win.
Oh, thank you.
Wow, what a day's worth of work here, Tim Colomina. We're not done. We're going to use the overtime option and jump into the overtime segment as we go to period number four. You and I are going to look at the big games coming up for Saturday. For those that are still with us through these three periods, we also want to make mention we're going to eventually be taking the show live to over the web waves in the very near future. Details to follow, Tim. I think with what we're talking about, this is going to be great stuff.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It should be some exciting stuff. We can, expound on certain games if we wish. We'll have a little bit more flexibility, I think, with what we're doing. So, big third rally here. We're going to overtime. I'm looking forward to it.
That's right. A late goal put us into the overtime session. We're not feeling too happy about our effort. We didn't close it out the way we should have. But you know what? We had some great interview stuff, some good stuff from the locker room area at the Apple Valley Arena, the Apple Valley High School. That's going to do it here for period number three. Tim, hang out. Overtime coming up right after this on the Overtime Radio Network.